Krishna. So, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 8, and today's verse is verse 193.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya 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 Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We'll do word for word first.
Etabali.
Etabali.
Saying this.
Apanakrita.
Apanakrita.
Composed by himself.
Gita.
Gita.
Song.
Eka,
Eka,
one.
Gahila,
Gahila,
sang.
Preme,
Preme,
in love of Godhead.
Prabhu,
Prabhu,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Swahaste,
Swahaste,
by his own hand.
Tanra,
Tanra,
his.
Ramananda Rai's.
Mukha,
mouth.
Achhalida,
achhadila,
covered.
Eta bali apanakrita gita eka gahila.
Eta bali apanakrita gita eka gahila.
Eta bali apanakrita gita eka gahila.
Eta bali
Preme Prabhu Swahaste Tanra Mukha Chadila.
Preme Prabhu Swahaste Tanra Mukha Chadila.
Preme Prabhu Swahaste Tanra Mukha Chadila. Eta Bali Apanakrita Gita Eka Gahila.
Eta Bali Apanakrita Gita Eka Gahila.
Preme Prabhu Swaste Tanra Mukha Chadila.
Please chant.
Eta Bali Apanakrita Gita Eka Gahila.
Eta Bali Apanakrita Gita Eka Gahila.
Mothers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Saying this, Ramananda Rai began to sing a song he had composed, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of the ecstasy of love of Godhead, immediately covered Ramananda's mouth with his own hand. This is a long purport, so I will take the liberty of, as we are going through, I'll just comment on the part that, like, short parts. So the translation is saying this. So I'll just refer to the previous verse as to what Ramananda Rai said in the verse before. Ramananda Rai, this is text 192, Ramananda then informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there was another topic known as Prema Vilasa Vivarta. You may hear of this from me, Ramananda Rai said, but I do not know whether you will be happy with it or not. So Ramananda Rai has discussed up till now what is the highest in service to the Lord, what is the highest form, and finally he comes to the discussion about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, even after that, he's saying, this is all right, but please continue. And Ramananda Rai says, I don't think my intelligence goes beyond this. However, I have composed this song, and I don't know if you'll be happy with me or not, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sing that song for you. So then he begins to sing this song. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, the topics that are about to be discussed between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai cannot be understood by a materialistic poet, nor by intelligence or material perception. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the spiritual mellow can be realized only when one is situated on the transcendental platform beyond the material stage of goodness. That platform is called Vishuddha Sattva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Realization of the Vishuddha Sattva platform is beyond the pale of the material world and is not perceived by bodily senses or mental speculation. And of course, our goal is to attain that Vishuddha Sattva. So Prabhupada is going to talk in this purport as to how we can get there and how we what things we want to avoid as we are going to on this journey towards Vishuddha Sattva or pure goodness. Our identification with the gross body and subtle mind is different from spiritual understanding. Since the intelligence and mind are material, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are beyond their perception. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. When we are free from all material designations and our senses are completely purified by the bhakti process, we can understand the sense activities of the absolute truth. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So this verse is very prominent in Srila Prabhupada's purports. It's actually from Narada Pancharatra, and it is quoted in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I thought I'll just read from the actual translation of this verse. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So the translation is, bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, Rishikesh, the master of the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, which is sarvopadhi, all the upadhis, we are rid of all our upadhis, vinirmuktam, freed from all of those upadhis, material designations, and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. Rishikesha, Rishikena. Further in this chapter, actually, as I was going through this, I was just reading further the verses which are coming up, and I found in one of the purports, which is a verse which is a very significant verse for all of us, Srila Prabhupada mentions this verse again, Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. So I thought I will refer to that verse right now. It's verse 229, in which Ramananda Rai is saying, Siddha Deha Chintikare Taha Nisevana Sakhi Bhave Paya Radha Krishne Racharana. After thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the word Siddha Deha, perfected spiritual body, refers to a body beyond the material gross body and the subtle body composed of mind, intelligence and false ego. In other words, one attains a completely spiritual body fit to render service to the transcendental couple Radha and Krishna. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tat paratena nirmalam. So when he goes on to say that the cycle of gross body and then our subtle desires, which leads to getting our subtle body and then again getting a gross body, so that cycle of material existence will go on unless one prepares, unless one is spiritually situated and does not desire either a gross body or a subtle body, and then one attains their spiritual body, the Siddha Deha. And in the Siddha Deha, in the spiritual body, there are no longer material desires, and one is fully satisfied by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada says that is the platform of bhakti. When we have no longer material desires and we are fully satisfied by rendering service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So that's what we are hankering, or that's what our goal is, and we can hanker towards that platform of bhakti. And Prabhupada says that is Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So I'll continue with today's purport. The spiritual senses are beyond the material senses. A materialist can think only of the negation of material variety. He cannot understand spiritual variety. He thinks that spiritual variety simply contradicts material variety and is a negation or void. But such conceptions cannot even reach the precincts of spiritual realization. And Srila Prabhupada has mentioned it so many times about the materialist, or even those who are impersonalist. They want to negate this neti neti, not this, not that. And they have this understanding that there is so much suffering in this material world, and if we have a body and we are doing things and there is so much variety, there must be suffering in the spiritual world too. So they go on to say there is no nothingness, it's all one, there's nothing in the spiritual world. Actually, it's funny, we get the National Geographic, and one of the old, maybe last year's edition, it was about Kumbh Mela. I didn't even read the article, but the title was where millions of people are one, Kumbh Mela, the confluence of whatever, and then all the living entities are one. So that's the message that they're giving. You become one when you are doing anything spiritual. You become one with the Supreme and you lose all your individuality. And Srila Prabhupada has written volumes and volumes of books to contradict that spiritual variety contradicts material variety. This is what a materialist will think. But the wonderful activities of the gross body and subtle mind are always imperfect. They are below the degree of spiritual understanding and are ephemeral. Does anybody know what the meaning of ephemeral is? What's that? Temporary. Yeah, I don't know. I said ephemeral, so I had to go and check. I have heard this word, so it's something which is very, very short-lived or temporary. So the activities of our body and mind are actually ephemeral. The spiritual mellow is eternally wonderful and is described as Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta. That is complete, perfectly pure, and eternally liberated from all material conceptions. When we are unable to fulfill our material desires, there is certainly sorrow and confusion. This may be described as vivarta. But in spiritual life, there is no sorrow, inebriety, or imperfection. So we feel sorrow, or we feel imperfect, or inebriety, we can understand that we are not on the spiritual platform. We are functioning on the material platform. And that, and these are such simple kind of tags we can see. Oh, if I'm feeling too sorrowful or lamenting, I'm definitely not on the spiritual platform. We can just pull ourselves out of that. And so that way we can actually, because, you know, we are always trying to, even if, when we are on our spiritual path, our spiritual journey, things are happening to us every day, every minute, and how we respond to them, that's how we can find ourselves either on the spiritual or material platform. So we can experience that spiritual mellow, purna, shuddha, and nitya mukta, if we actually work on it by trying to get out of the mode of lamentation. And suffering will come and go, and like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, cold, heat or cold, happiness or distress will come and go. Just like, you know, the summer and winter seasons are coming and going, but we have to rise above those material things which are going on around us. So Srila Prabhupada says, Ramananda Rai was expert in realizing the spiritual activities of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and Ramananda Rai's spiritual experience was placed before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he inquired whether the Lord approved his realization of spiritual truth. So actually this verse, Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, in one of the previous classes, I think it was a couple months ago that I was giving, and I was discussing this verse a lot, so I had researched and found that actually Prabhupada mentions this verse, Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, 42 times, at least 42 times in the Veda base. So at this juncture, I would like to quote another part of Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 38, in which Krishna, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he's very, very foolish. Indeed, he's just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I'm very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I should induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. So this is the point of maintaining material desires. So if someone wants to maintain some material desire and at the same time very sincerely desires to engage at the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna may give him unalloyed devotional service and take away all our material desires and possessions. And Prabhupada says this is the Lord's special favor to the devotees. And he mentions about Dhruva Maharaj, that he wanted, you know, he wanted the kingdom which was even better than his father's. But then when he had the darshan of the Lord, he came to the realization that all of that was just like broken glass. So Prabhupada says if a very sincere devotee wants only Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna directly gives him the position of Shuddha Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. So moving along to the purport. So we are seeing how Ramananda Rai said that he wanted to sing the song called Prema Vilasa Vivarta. So Prabhupada is saying there are three books prominent in this connection. One was written by Bhakta Das Bola, and is called Vivarta Vilas. Another was compiled by Jagadananda Pandit and is called Prema Vivarta. Sri Ramananda Rai's book is called Prema Vilas Vivarta. The Vivarta Vilas by Bhakta Das Bola is completely different from the other two books. Sometimes a university student or professor tries to study these transcendental literatures and attempts to put forth a critical analysis from the mundane view with an end to receiving degrees like a PhD. Such a realization is certainly different from that of Ramananda Rai. If one actually wants to take a PhD degree from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be approved by Ramananda Rai, he must first become free from all material designations. So once again, Srila Prabhupada quotes, Sarvapadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. And I know for myself, when I was working on getting a PhD degree, I had no inclination of spiritual life. I used to actually think it is all a waste of time, because I was so focused on working in the lab and getting my degree and getting my dissertation finished. So I remember my sisters at that time would be very much involved in fasting, you know, 2-3 days a week they would fast for this reason or that reason. And but my goal was, I need to get my degree, I need to have a lab, I need to have students for me, with me, grants, and you know. So, and one who is, maybe they're researching Prema Vilas Vivarta or Vivarta Vilas, but that setting, that academic setting is such that you want to, it's a material goal, how I can become best in discussing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will be the best authority. So that's the mood of somebody who's in the academic. So in my case, it was yeast, molecular biology. So, I want to be the best. I want to get the best grants. So when somebody is studying this with the goal to get a PhD degree, inadvertently that mood will come, how I can become best. And that's what will be the downfall, because that's where the material desires come in. They creep in. So they are like little, they just come in from the back door, those material desires. So, of course, unless one is Hridayananda Maharaj or Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who are totally, even after they got their PhD, they are totally fixed in serving Srila Prabhupada's movement and furthering this movement. A person who identifies with his material body cannot understand these talks between Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Man-made religious scriptures and transcendental philosophical talks are quite different. Indeed, there is a gulf of difference between the two. This subject matter has been very diligently described by Sriman Madhvacharya. Since material philosophers are situated in the material conception of life, they are unable to realize the spiritual prema vilas vivarta. They cannot accommodate an elephant upon a dish. This is very interesting. So Prabhupada says, elephant on a dish. So, does anybody know of any instance when somebody's thinking like that? Is it some? Because I'm not familiar with this example about trying to fit an elephant upon a dish. Yes, go. Somebody say something.
I just read the Bhaktisiddhanta gave that example, and I don't remember the exact details. It's in the Bhagavad, it's in the book that the Bhaktisiddhanta wrote.
Bhaktisiddhanta, what's the name of the book?
In the book, the three-volume book, Bhaktisiddhanta
Vibhava. It's called Vibhava? Vaibhava.
Yeah.
Oh, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Divyanga Prabhu is saying that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually gave this example of the materialist trying to accommodate an elephant upon a dish, and it is in the 3-volume Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. So if you'd like to learn more about this. So also Prabhupada gives the example about licking the honey bottle, you know, trying to lick the bottle from the outside, and we say that, oh, it's not, honey is not sweet, because even though I'm licking the bottle, I'm thinking I'm actually trying to lick the honey. So with a limited conception, we can't really capture that. Oh, similarly, mundane speculators cannot capture the spiritual elephant within their limited conception. I'll just read this again. They cannot accommodate an elephant upon a dish, Similarly, mundane speculators cannot capture the spiritual elephant within their limited conception. It's just like a frog trying to measure the Atlantic Ocean by imagining it so many times larger than his well. And this example, Prabhupada has told also a few times, the story about the frog in the well and what happens to the frog in the well. He keeps on thinking, oh, is it this big? Is it this big? Is the Atlantic Ocean this big? And finally, he gets so puffed up that he just bursts and he leaves his body. So similarly, the materialistic philosophers and sahajiyas cannot understand the talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concerning the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. The only tendency of the impersonalists or the prakriti sahajiyas is to face the platform of impersonalism. They cannot understand spiritual variegatedness. Consequently, when Ramananda Rai attempted to sing his own verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him by covering his mouth with his own hand. So, I'll read the translation once more time. Saying this, Ramananda Rai began to sing a song he had composed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of the ecstasy of love of Godhead, immediately covered Ramananda's mouth with his own hand. So I'd like to ask a question from you all devotees. Why do you think Ramananda Rai's, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu covered the mouth of Ramananda Rai with his own hand? And what would be the significance of that after we heard the whole purport? I'm wondering, so that's why I'm asking if somebody could, somebody has this realization. Yes, Prabhu? And then Mohan Prabhu?
He was politely telling him not to say it out loud. He didn't want anybody to hear it. There had been a misunderstanding of it. So, that's just a simple understanding that I got. I don't know if it's right or not, but that's what it appeared like. He just simply said, shh.
I also thought the same thing. However, I was wondering that since their discussions are going on in a private place, so I was wondering why he didn't. Of course, he will sing, but so he's there kind of saying, say it softly or don't say it out too loud. That looks like a valid reason. Anyone else has any ID?
Same kind of rule, you know, just it's confidential.
It's confidential, yes. So we, in the next many verses, we will hear about, we'll hear the song of Ramananda Rai and the Prema Vilasa Vivarta. I'm going to just say a little bit more about Sarvupadi Vinirmuktam, trying to, because we are, our, at least my position is that I'm trying to get to the place where I can understand these very confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So I'm work on getting rid of my designation, my material designation. I'm a woman, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a this, I'm a that. So, yes. So what am I? What am I? I'm spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, trying to engage in devotional service. So, I'll read this analogy, which it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about Maharaj Prithu. And Maharaj Prithu was very opulent and very prosperous, and he had a huge kingdom. However, he was a grihastha, remained at home as a householder in the grihastha ashram. And in that verse, Prithu Maharaj is likened to the sun. And Prabhupada says, sometimes the sun shines on stool, urine, and so many other polluted things, but since the sun is all-powerful, it is never affected by the polluted things with which it associates. On the contrary, the sunshine sterilizes and purifies polluted and dirty places. This is where I find, which would be very relevant to my situation. Similarly, a devotee may engage in so many material activities, but because he has no desire for sense gratification, they may never affect him. So we may engage in so many material activities, which we do on a daily basis. However, we want to get rid of the desire for sense gratification, and then we won't be affected by those desires. On the contrary, he dovetails all material activities for the service of the Lord. Since a pure devotee knows how to utilize everything for the Lord's service, he is never affected by material activities. Instead, by his transcendental plans, he purifies such activities, which is what Srila Prabhupada was so expert. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. His aim is to completely purify, to become completely purified in the service of the Lord without being affected by material designations. So we dovetail all our activities. So in the sense, when we are working and working as for a living, we can devote some of our time. If we have some time in service of the Lord, we can donate the hard-earned Lakshmi that we have, a percentage of that Lakshmi for the service of the Lord. And we can devote time in our own mind and consciousness to the service of the Lord. So even though externally it may seem that we are engaged in all of these material activities, the mood could be, like Prabhupada is saying, a devotee may engage, and they may never affect him. If we engage our bodies, whatever we are engaging our bodies in, but if our mind is always engaged in serving the Lord, then we'll never be affected by the polluted and dirty things. And the devotional service will be like the sun shining on our consciousness. Our consciousness can be always dovetailed in that activity of serving the Lord. Of course, the most important activity is utilizing our tongue, chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any questions or comments, please do. Yes, Prabhu. Sharanga Thakur, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I was thinking of these designations, and for me they can be quite subtle, involving different emotions which I have to deal with. And I have a false ego that identifies with a lot of negative emotions, as if it's who I am to lament or despair or whatever it is. So then becoming free from this inebriety, becoming the observer, is possible as we advance. And it doesn't mean that we become free from emotions or stone-like, but we have more access to purified emotions from a pure heart. So that's a hopeful.
Yes, well said. Thank you. Yes, Madan Mukul.
I was thinking that the difference between thinking in a mode of goodness and thinking in a mode of pure goodness, because this particular chapter, Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, they kind of covered that point on it's not sufficient to negate something, because he says you have to have the positive information to go there. So like when you were saying, we want to get free from designations, or like if we want to let's remove the darkness. It's almost complete, but it's missing. How does one remove the darkness? Well, you say it's quite obvious. You turn the light on, you know. So that's. But you can't remove darkness any other way. So, in the mode of goodness, it's focusing on becoming free from something, towards liberation, getting out of. But it doesn't include necessarily what is the next part. What is it, the activities in freedom? So I think the example is given of the inchworm, a little teeny worm. He gets his two little feet, I guess, situated on where he's going. Then he lifts up his other ones. So in this conversation, it seems to be trying to train us to think of if you turn the light on, the darkness automatically, you don't have to concentrate. How am I going to get free from the darkness? How do you get rid of darkness? All you do is turn the light on, and that'll include that. So when we think about pleasing Krishna, acting in our spiritual identity that has been mercifully given to us, then automatically the designations go away. But I don't think you can get free from designations. The only way is if you're properly situated in the, at least even theoretically, the which is pure goodness in its green mango stage, then you can, those things will automatically take place. Does that make sense?
Yes, actually in this verse, which is the translation of the Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam verse, actually says when the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. So that is the side effect that one becomes free of material designations. And yes, you're right. One cannot say, oh, I will not be this, I'll not be that. Mm-hmm. That's a side effect of serving the Lord. One is free from material designation and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in that service. So, however, that, you know, that an example which Srila Prabhupada gives, you turn off the fan and it's still moving. So that moving is the one, the moving fan, even though that current has been, is not, it, there's no longer any current going to that fan, it's still moving. So that moving is one when we are still identifying. Like Saranga Thakur Prabhu was saying, it's very subtle. That identification is there and we don't want to lament about it, it is there, but we have to just intensify our fixatedness on the service of the Lord. And then that will be automatically, the side effect will come, keep coming. Like also, Srila Prabhupada says many times, he has said that a devotee becomes very attractive, becomes very famous, all these things come, they're a side effect. And Mukti is standing with folded hands, trying to give liberation to that spirit soul. And a bhakta is not interested in it, but it's a side effect. Madhura Gatmika.
Thank you. Thank you for your nice realizations today. I think it's important that we distinguish between role and identity. One has, of course, our identity, we know, is eternal and permanent. But the roles one plays vary, and one can play many roles in a day, four or five roles, some people maybe, you know. But we can remember that story, how Prabhupada says how the wife who has a paramour, she performs her duty at home very carefully, but her mind is always on her paramour, where her heart is. So we must keep our mind and consciousness in our eternal identity while performing the various roles dutifully. Another example is one can play these roles at their best when just like on a drama or on a stage, the person who can play the role of the villain or the demon the best is the one who's completely detached. He's not at all attached to what the audience is going to think of him when he gets off the stage, whatever, you know, or even think of him. Well, he's completely detached. So he can perform that role to its best. So these roles are important in maintaining harmony in society for everyone's progressive march, you know.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
It was very nice. Actually, when you mentioned the heart, this thing, when we sometimes when we're out on book distribution, we tell people, this is the yoga of the heart. This is the, and that you, and then people get this, they actually stop in of the heart. So that's where we want to get our heart to that place, the service of the Lord. Our mind and body is engaged in our roles, but we want to have our identity, which is serving or being a servant of the Lord. And that is for, comes from the heart. Will definitely come from the heart. Thank you so much, Mary. Anyone else would like to contribute something? Mother Mahindrani, you always have such sweet realizations. No, okay, sorry. Okay, thank you. Oh, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I was just thinking of two verses, the one in the 8th chapter where Krishna says, always think of me and carry out your prescribed duties of fighting. And then in the 18th chapter, he says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So even though we're doing it, but those two kind of go together in all activities. You think about Krishna, perform your, with your mind fixed on me, your intelligence fixed on me, you come to me. So that's kind of the art that we're learning. The art of living, art of being Krishna conscious in every situation. Ahoitu kiya patiyata.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.